Welcome to the ABCs of the Bible, a radio ministry dedicated to bringing you the Word of God. God promises that when His Word goes forth, it won't come back void, but will accomplish that which He pleases.
Greetings, friends, and welcome to our 12th program in our series of studies on the three P's of our profession. The first P of our profession is preaching, and it means preaching the gospel. And today we're going to talk about the gospel of salvation. What we said in our last program was that a part of the gospel of salvation is the concept of predestination. And predestination does not mean that, for instance, John Doe is predestined to have eternal life, whereas John Poe is destined to have eternal death. No, it's not like that. God has created every human being as a free moral agent so that we can freely choose to be a part of God's family. We have to come to love God and love our neighbors as ourselves. If we do that, then we are saying that we want to be a part of God's family, because God is all about love and God is reproducing Himself through humanity. When we were created in God's image and in God's likeness, God said, "Let us," which meant the Father and the Son, "let us create mankind in our image after our likeness." So we were born this first time so that we could be born again. The first time we were born of human parents in the flesh. The next time we will be born of God in the Spirit, meaning that we will have eternal Spirit-composed bodies, and we will have the nature, the divine nature of God, the divine mind of God, where we will love God with all of our heart and mind, and we will love our neighbors as ourselves. So God is truly creating a family. That's what He has predestined, predetermined, is that the majority of people will choose to be in God's family. That's what predestination is about. Now, in concert with this, there is a false doctrine that's taught. You know, there is the false doctrine that people are predestined in the sense that God has said, person A, B, and C, you go over here, you're going to be in the kingdom, you're going to be in my family, no matter what. People D through F, you're going to be in the lake of fire no matter what, as though we're robots and we don't have a choice. That's a false doctrine. That's a false, incorrect understanding of predestination. God has predestined that people will either end up in heaven with eternal life, living together with God, or else they're going to be in hell, having eternal death, not being alive and not being around anybody else, but burned up completely, dead forever. So you're going to end up in one place or the other, in heaven with eternal life or in hell with eternal death. That's what God has predestined, is that every human being that has ever existed will end up in one place or the other. But you have the choice. I have the choice. Everybody has that choice, or else it wouldn't be a free will, and God has created us with free moral agent. So we have to willfully choose to follow God. Now, in concert with that false understanding about predestination, being that God has predestined that some will go to heaven no matter what, as though you don't have a choice, there's also this false doctrine of once saved, always saved. People preach a false gospel that once you accept Christ, you cannot lose your salvation. That once you have accepted Christ by faith, then you have been saved and you cannot lose that salvation. That's a bunch of hogwash. That's contrary to Scripture. And I only tell you this because many people feel like, well, I have salvation, so no matter what I do, it doesn't make a difference. God's got me covered. I'm going to be in heaven anyway. No, that's not the right attitude. If you don't get your act together after having accepted Christ, if you now turn back to your sinful, wretched, raunchy way of life and just sin willfully time after time, knowing that you're sinning and doing it not caring, God says you will not being my family. God is not going to have somebody in his family living forever, screwing things up. God says that if you want to live that way, you're going to die that way. You will die the second death, which is eternal death. You will be burnt up in the lake of fire. And I say this, and God says this, not to scare you, because God loves you. He wants you to love him. He wants you to choose to follow his way of life, which is the way of love. Loving God with all of your heart, might, and soul, that's the first and greatest commandment. And then loving your neighbor as yourself, that's the second commandment. That's what God wants. But he is saying, I'm telling you now, I'm warning you, you better straighten up and fly right or you won't be flying at all. You'll be grounded. You'll be pounded into the ground. You will go into the lake of fire. You will die forever. All right, so here it is. This false gospel of once saved, always saved is going to be exposed right now because you can lose your salvation. I want you to understand that. You can lose your salvation. Here it is in Hebrews the 10th chapter, verses 23 through 39. This is Hebrews the 10th chapter and verses 23 through 39. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. The three P's of our profession are preaching the gospel. That's the first P, preaching the gospel. The second P is preparing people, and that's the people who respond to the gospel. We prepare them so that they can grow up into the full maturity of God, so that they can have the heart and mind that God wants, which is a heart of love, loving God with all of their heart and mind, and then loving their neighbors as themselves. That's teaching the law of God, this way of life. And then the third P of our profession is providing for people. So the three P's of our profession are preaching the gospel, preparing disciples, and then providing for people. And here it's saying, let us hold fast the profession, this profession that we've been called into, which is the profession of our faith. We are saying that we believe that God's way of life is the best way to live. That's why it's our profession. That's what we do for a living. Not to say that you get paid full-time for it. I don't get paid full-time for it. But it means that this is the main thing that we do in life. This is why we live and breathe. This is why we eat and sleep. Is so that we can preach the gospel throughout all the world, which is the good news that people can have salvation by faith. That's why we prepare people as they respond. We want them not to lose their salvation, but to continue to grow and overcome and develop this divine nature of God. And we provide for people because we love people and we see people who have needs. So we want to heal hurting hearts. We want to mend broken minds. That's what we're all about. And so it says here that we should hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. So notice that we can waver, right? Which means to get weak, to go a little bit off balance. But he's saying to us, hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful who promised. God says that he will never leave us or forsake us. God says that no one can pluck us out of his hand. So there's no power that can separate us from God. That's an external power. The only power that can separate us from God is ourselves, our free moral agency. If we say, God, adios, I'm out of here, I don't want you anymore. If we choose that way of life, then God says he has nothing else that he can do but give us eternal death. Not life, eternal death. Okay, so God says that what we should do is we should consider one another, think about one another, so that we can know how to provoke one another to love and to good works. It's always a struggle. Satan, the devil, is like a roaring lion, roaming around, seeking whom he may devour. And so it's always a struggle. And God says that we should consider one another, lest the cares of this world spring up, or lest persecution spring up, and we forsake the way. So always consider one another, how we can provoke one another to love and to good works. And don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. We can grow in community. That's how we can grow. That's the best way to grow, is amongst a community of believers, our brothers and sisters in the faith, always encouraging one another, iron sharpening iron, praying for one another, studying together, singing psalms of joy, helping to bear one another's burdens. That's what it's all about, being a family knit together as one strong unit in the bond of love. It says we should be exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching, as we get closer to Christ's return and the light of Christ. Before that, it's going to get darker. You know how they say it gets darker before it gets day? Well, that's the same thing. Before the daylight of Christ approaches, there's going to be darkness. So all the more we need to exhort one another to be strong in the faith. Now notice this. Notice this. Please notice this. For if we sin willfully, not from weakness, not out of an occasional slip-up, but if we sin willfully, if our minds are set to sin no matter what, that is the unpardonable sin. God cannot pardon that sin because we will not repent of the sin. And the only sins that God can forgive are those sins that we repent of. If we refuse to repent of a sin, then God cannot forgive us of that sin, which means He can't pardon us of that sin. That means that is the unpardonable sin. And it can be any sin that we just willfully choose to continue to commit. It's like throwing dirt in God's face after all He's done for us. It's like trampling on the blood of Christ, considering it something unworthy. And that's exactly what the scripture is going to say in a few seconds. It says, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth. So this is talking about people who have been converted, people who have been enlightened. If you sin willfully after you have been converted, after you've been enlightened, after you've received the knowledge of the truth, then there remains no more sacrifice for sins. God cannot get any other sacrifice because God has already offered the best that He can give, and that's Christ. And if you don't accept Christ, then there's no more sacrifice for sins. What more could you ask for? Christ, as the Son of God, created all things. The Father God created all things through Christ Jesus. So His life was more valuable than all of our lives put together. So when He died, He paid the penalty for everybody's sins and for all sins. And if we don't accept that sacrifice, there is no more sacrifice. So we have to end it right here. I'm going to come back to this subject because it's so important. I thank you for joining me on this program, and please come back for the next program so that we can continue to explode this false gospel of once saved, always saved. Now remember that you're listening to 1010 AM, that's WGUN Radio, that's 1010 AM on your dial, and this program is the ABCs of the Bible radio program, and we're on from 7:15 to 7:30 in the morning. If you'd like to read some of our literature, you can log on to our website, which is www.christianambassadors.org, or you can call us and request literature at 404-412-0032. Thank you for listening. May God be in you.